We have been blessed by that wonderful music. From the book of John, chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, no doubt one of the most oft-read and sought-after passages of comfort in all the Bible. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When the roll is called up yonder, heaven is real, not merely an idea of imagination. The Bible makes it very plain that heaven is more than an illusion in the mind. It is a goal, it is a hope of the believer. By heaven we mean the final state of the righteous. The state of blessedness does not come until after the resurrection and the judgment, but we are talking about the Christian's condition when his eternal righteousness and his final enjoyment of blessing and redemption. Where is heaven? Some people say it's a place of freedom from sin, fullness of fellowship with God. A man with sin in his heart cannot enjoy happiness anywhere in this universe or in the universe to come. We find that heaven is a real place, according to John 14. About 100 years or so ago, a group of preachers met on Monday morning, and Father Taylor was there. And one young man came in, and he said, "You know, according to science, there will be no such thing as a resurrection because science says that it takes a certain amount of phosphorus for the human body, and all of it will be used up, and there will not be enough phosphorus for the bodies of those who have died from Adam's time until our time, until the end of the age, let alone the ones that will be born in the future." Well, Taylor said to the young man, don't worry about that, and I'm not worried in the least about that. Because, he says, the good book says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We Christians will be all right. But he says you infidels will have to scurry around for your own phosphorus. I think that's true. Heaven is something that is real. As Sister Anna Bounds of Indianapolis, Indiana, she had a longing that her brother become a Christian. He lived in another town, another state, Illinois. She began to pray for him, but she was taken ill, was at the point of death. And her prayer was, "Oh God, let me get well enough to make the trip to my brother's house that I might talk to him about his salvation and witness to him one more time. Miracle of all miracles, Anna recovered and rebounded from her illness and was well enough to travel and make the journey to her brother's home. When she arrived, she had to go back to bed because the trip was just a little bit too much for her. But she sent and called for the community preacher to come. She told him her prayer, about her prayer, and asked him to say a word to her brother. And so in the other room, the minister talked to the brother and said, "Your sister has prayed that God would let her get well enough to come and talk to you and witness to you one more time." The impression was so great upon the man that there in the house he got on his knees and he prayed and pled for God's mercy and for the deliverance, and he found it with joy. Then he and the minister walked into the bedroom where his sister was, and he said, "God bless you, Anna. Your prayers have been answered. I'm a child of God. And you are now going away from me, but I will meet you in heaven." He kneeled down and thanked God for all his mercies. And as death entered that room, they tell us the most unusual thing happened. That Anna, the brother, the minister, and some of the other friends began to sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And when they finished the last line of that hymn, and Anna added, "And brother too, he will be there." When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Will those in your family be there? Many times people who have no connection with our church at all ask me, "What do you know about heaven?" People have a longing to know, an inner longing, to know something about that land beyond. And sometimes I wonder why Jesus didn't tell us a little bit more about heaven. But in his text, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Jesus told us enough in that one sentence about the land beyond. He said it's a place. He says it's a prepared place. How beautiful that heaven is going to be prepared for us. Dr. Myers, in his dying days, wrote a letter to his friend across the seas, and he said to him, "By the time you receive my message, it is certain I will have made my entrance into heaven. You will not have the opportunity to answer my letter," but he says in the letter, "I hope our cottages are close together up in heaven, and we'll be able to sit down and talk about the things that I've been writing you about. A place of many mansions." verse 2 says, we do well to think again and again about heaven. We are so caught up with this secular world that many times the only things we think about are those that are material. Very seldom do we think of these things that are eternal. Paul quite often wrote about his citizenship in heaven. Moffat translates it, but we are a colony of heaven, and we wait for the Savior who comes from heaven, Jesus Christ, who will transform the body which belongs to our lowliest state until it resembles the body of his glory by the same power that enabled him to make everything subject to himself. A man who was 85 years of age says, I do not complain, but since the one of my heart left me a little while ago, I am so frail. I have a longing to go to that place, that home. And I would welcome the summons. And he says, I would not murmur with God's plan at all, but I gladly yield to it. There are two, three things about heaven. First of all, God is going to be there. He tells us here, this is the Father's house. God is going to be there in the Lord's Prayer. We pray, our Father who art in heaven. Secondly, the angels are going to be there. Those who carry on his ministry and his work. Thirdly, the believers are going to be there. Those who trust in Jesus Christ will be there. Fourthly, the wicked will be excluded from heaven. The unbelievers will be disqualified for entrance into heaven. The gates of the city will be closed against everything that is unrighteous. Sometimes people ask about, will there be any recognition in heaven? When the roll is called up yonder, will believers be able to recognize one another in heaven? Now the scripture does not throw a great deal of light upon it, but Paul said, when Christ appears, we shall be like him in the likeness of his glorious body. And when the rich man and Lazarus in the story, they had recognition beyond the grave. And the Bible tells us about Abraham, who died off in the land of Canaan. It says he was gathered to his own people, Genesis 25:8. In other words, though they were buried hundreds of miles away, they were gathered. And during the time of transfiguration on the mount that day, Moses and Elijah, whose spirits had departed from this earth long before, spoke with Jesus. There was recognition and there was astonishment by the disciples of this glorious fact that these recognized the Lord Jesus. My dear friends, David said in the Old Testament, as he looked into the face of his dead child, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him. He will not return, but I can go to him. In that larger fellowship, my friends, we find that there must be something of recognition. One Sunday evening, a Christian family was talking about heaven. Each one was giving his own idea as to what he thought about the beauty, about the golden streets and the gates of pearl, and how everything would be up there. One said, I think everybody will be loving. And just having everybody to love me, and I love them. There is so much hatred here in this earth. There is so much friction, even among families. But just to have love, one member said, would be great. Another member said, there will be no separation, and that's the best part for me. And grandmother spoke up and said, who had lived a long time, I rejoice in the negatives. No more pain, no more sickness, no more disappointment, no more death. And a little girl said about heaven, this, it is a place where I cannot do wrong because Jesus is there. What is heaven? I could ask a little child, all joy in her innocence. She smiled. I asked the aged man with cares oppressed, all suffering or heaven, he says, at last is rest. I ask a maiden, meek and tender-eyed, it must be love, she modestly replied. I ask the poet and his soul afire, 'tis glory, glory. And he struck his lyre. When old Dr. Petty began to wane in the last moments, and the physician was asked, is it near? And his friend told him it was. His face lighted up, and he said, I'm soon going to be with mother and brother. And when I get there, I will salute my Lord, and I will say, what is the next job for me? Bishop Moore one time said that when he was a little boy growing up, his mother and his father used to sing about that pearly white city. And he said, the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. And he says, it just sort of intrigued me. And then he says, when I began to preach, and I tried to get the friends of my church to go along with this, he says, I feared for the pavement. He said, just to walk on gold, he says, they like to have it in their pockets. So he said, I had a little trouble getting it across to them. My friends, there will be no more sea, no place that we will be shut off from. It'll be a holy place. Nothing which will defile will ever enter there. Nothing which makes a lie will enter there. It will be different from what it is down here. And the preacher one day went to visit a lady who made her living by sewing on a sewing machine. She had several little children. The husband was dead. And as they were sitting there, she said, look, let us talk, and I'll sew. And so they talked. And finally he said, we came to the place in our conversation, and I said to her, I said, by the way, what feature of heaven most appeals to you? She said, she'll put down her sewing. She looked up into his face, as though it were transfigured. She said, for me it'll be a place of rest. I'm so tired. I have these babies to care for day and night. I have to go out and be the breadwinner and find work to do. And I tramp around the streets to find it. And I'm so tired of body, brain and spirit, that I think heaven will be a place of rest, the best thing I could think about. The poet sang, there shall I bathe my weary soul in the sea of heavenly rest, and not one wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. My friends, the knowledge of that is something that will certainly stir our hearts. D.L. Moody one time was asked, "Do you think, Mr. Moody, that we will know each other up in heaven?" Mr. Moody says, "Certainly I think we will. I think we will have more knowledge up there than we have down here. If Jesus knew Moses and Moses knew Elijah, then," he says, "I think we will know each other." As the old man, left of 11 children, said, he says, "Won't it be a wonderful time when I get over there and I have the experience of meeting with all of these brothers of mine?" A little girl said to her daddy, "Papa, I'll be waiting for you there." And so she will, so she will. Old John Jasper, that colored preacher up in Richmond, who was a slave, who was converted down in the factory, but then he turned preacher, and then he filled a great church, and then people came to hear him. By the scores they came. The rich people came. The educated people came. One thing sure, he knew the Bible. And one day he was carried away in his preaching. And he said to his flock, "Someday John Jasper's going to die. And," he said, "when I go to heaven," he said, "an angel will come down to meet me and will say, 'John, here is your robe. It is washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's all clean, it's pure, and it's ready for you to wear.'" And he says, "I'll say to the angel, 'You just step aside. I'm going on down the street. And I'm going to find Jesus first.'" And then in his ecstasy, as he is swept away, he says, another angel comes and says, "John, I have your crown. It has a lot of jewels in it. It represents a lot of people you've helped down on earth. And John, here's your crown.' And John said to the angel, 'Step aside. I'm going on down the street,' he said, 'until I find Jesus. And when I found him, I'm going to kneel down there and worship 1,000 years. And then I'll get my robe and I'll get my crown. And I'll enjoy all the blessings of heaven.'" Dear friends, when the roll is called up yonder, the affirmative answer is, "I'll be there." Dr. Lynn Broughton, who preached in Atlanta, Georgia, in a tabernacle church there for many, many years, said he had a young usher in his church who was taken ill and was in the hospital and had not long to live. And Dr. Broughton went in to visit him and talk with him. And he said, while we were seated there talking about various things, and the young man was telling him about all of his hopes and everything fading away, And he said, great big tears welled up in the young man's eyes. And Dr. Broughton says, I took out my handkerchief and I reached over and I dried one eye. And then he said, I dried the other eye. The young man then said to Dr. Broughton, he said, Preacher, you know, the next time my eyes are dried, it will be by the one who said, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a great day that will be to see and to know that God has that power to wipe away every tear. I couldn't dry them all up, neither could you. But when the roll is called up yonder, I really want to be there, don't you? We're going to sing now, hymn number 491. Today, God may be calling some son, some daughter. Give me thy heart. He may be calling some father, some mother. Give me thy heart. He may be speaking to your life and to your heart today. Follow me. If he is, I hope you will follow him. When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? I hope so. I hope so. Stanza for this invitation today. How wonderful that Sister Anna was spared the strength to go and witness to her brother who needed the Savior. This morning we've tried to witness to you about the great need in your life and to bring to you when the roll is called up yonder. You fill out the rest. Will you be there? If today you have never made that decision publicly to follow Jesus Christ, to give your life to Him, your heart to Him,